Welcome to another edition of the Books and Culture Podcast with Books and Culture's editor, John Wilson, and I'm Stan Guthrie. And this week, John, we'll be looking at the latest novel from Philip Kerr in the Bernie Gunther novel series.
A Man Without Breath, it's called. It was about a year ago that you and I talked about the previous book in the series, Prague Fatale.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it was only a few weeks ago.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
So this is the ninth book in the series, and you and I talked, I think I mentioned when we talked about the previous one that a long, long time ago, I had read a standalone novel by Philip Kerr, and I don't even remember the title of it, but I didn't like it, even though I was impressed by the intelligence of the author and his wit, but his sort of sour take and a certain nasty streak I found off-putting. And so I didn't read him for some years after that. And then Barry Strauss, one of my favorite military historians, he and I were trading emails recommending books to each other. And he recommended this Bernie Gunther series. And I thought, well, you know, I should give it a try. And I did. And I found the books very good, and so I've been reading them ever since, and this is the latest one in the series.
So are you saying that Kerr is an acquired taste for you, or what is the difference?
Well, part of it is the character, Bernie Gunther, who is the protagonist, who starts out as a policeman in Germany in the Nazi era. Then he gets recruited to a couple of other positions, but he is still essentially performing the same function. But he rubs elbows with historical personages in the course of the series. And one of the things that's interesting about them is that apart from the usual satisfactions of the genre, you learn a lot because Kerr does his homework, even to the extent that you sometimes pick up things from his books that you haven't picked up from reading nonfiction accounts.
Tell us about A Man Without Breath.
Well, A Man Without Breath, the heart of it is a very well-known historical episode, the Cotton Massacre, which occurred in 1940 in Russia near Smolensk. The Russians executed somewhere between 12 and 14,000 Polish officers and buried them in a wood there. And the bodies were discovered by the Nazis, by the Germans in 1943, and that was just after their terrible defeat at Stalingrad. But they still were inside Russia. They hadn't been forced to withdraw completely. Mm-hmm. The Soviets, of course, claimed that they had never committed this massacre, and they blamed it on the Germans, even though the evidence was very compelling that it had, in fact, been done by the Soviets. And not until 1991, after the fall of communism, did Russia acknowledge responsibility for it. And even then, they sort of hedged about it a bit. So that's the historical incident that's at the core here. Bernie himself is dispatched to investigate this because the first evidence has been found, but it's at that point very ambiguous. No one knows for sure what happened. They even think it's possible that it might be a massacre that the Germans themselves committed because not too far away from that, it would be possible to find bodies of Jews who had been systematically murdered and disposed of by Nazi killing squads. And so there's a nervousness about what they might find, but also the thought that this might be a great propaganda coup for the Germans, who are suffering a loss of morale after the defeat at Stalingrad. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they could brandish this evidence of Soviet perfidy? Because at that time, of course, the Soviets are part of the Allies.
Mm-hmm. So who is Bernie Gunther working for?
He's working for a war crimes commission at the time. And that may seem incredibly ironic, and he himself expresses the irony. A German war crimes commission in Germany. And among other things, they investigate their own people. In other words, if they find some soldiers, you know, guilty of acting out of the line of military rule and wantonly killing people and so on, they punish them. And he points out the irony that they're turning around and punishing someone for doing something that other German soldiers are doing.
Yeah.
That irony is at the very center of the book, because throughout the series, there's a wrestling with the nature of the moral universe that we inhabit. And part of the reason I like this series, even though Philip Kerr's take on the world is very different from yours or mine, is that he's not embarrassed to wrestle with these questions. His protagonist is wisecracking, insolent character in the long line of characters like Philip Marlowe and other such, but thrust in the context of Nazi Germany. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound like much of a vehicle for this kind of this kind of moral wrestling. But you read a lot of books in the genre. It's not like they're indifferent to moral questions, but they tend to treat them rather simplistically. That is, someone is doing something really wrong, and the arc of the action is to uncover that and to try to stop it. The idea is that there's in some ways a kind of clear and rather simple action that's required, even though it may be dangerous, even though these vast forces are conspiring to suppress the truth, it's fairly clear. And in Kerr's books, which I think in some ways are truer to reality, the choices are often a lot murkier. That's beautifully embodied by the role that Bernie Gunther finds himself in. And when you and I were talking about the previous book, I mentioned that one of the earlier books in this series is called If the Dead Rise Not. Mm. Obviously, it's a scriptural echo that raises the possibility of what is the world like if it's not like what people such as you and I say, that if there's not a God who's in charge of things, there's not a moral order that we can appeal to outside ourselves, what is the world like then? In this particular book, A Man Without Breath, the title is taken from a novel, the only published novel, by the notorious German minister of propaganda, Goebbels. And here's the line: a nation without a religion, that is like a man without breath. Well, and then you read that and it's said by Goebbels. So your first thought is, oh, wow. You know, I mean, it sounds like something that could come from a conservative American Christian today, right?
Mm, yeah.
A nation without a religion, that is like a man without breath. And so your first thought is, well, Kerr is using that just totally cynically. You know, these are the kinds of people who talk about religion,
right?
People like Goebbels. Okay. And that was in a novel. But as you read the book, the epigraph and the title take on a double meaning. That is, on the one hand, there is still the cynicism about religion mm-hmm. and its claims. But at the same time, there is a kind of reckoning, a sense that this is really a pretty grim and nasty situation we find ourselves in. There's not the sort of bland acceptance of the status quo that you find in an awful lot of books in this genre, and for that matter, not just in this genre, but fiction more generally. What you see here, just as in If the Dead Rise Not, If the Dead Rise Not, what Christians proclaim is completely untrue, what kind of world do we live in?